We made it in our study in the first session to James 5:17 in the NET Bible. Let me repeat that and we'll resume our study. In order to prepare for that, we'll pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to continue our pursuit of truth. It is our prayer the Holy Spirit will instruct us as we provide the concentration and the positive volition. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. James 5:17 in the NET Bible reads this way. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed for Sukkumai earnestly that it would not rain, and that's Brecco. And there was no rain upon the land for 3 years and for 6 months. Think of that. No rain, 3 years, 6 months. Not many petunias come up during that time. So let's take a look at the problem that caused it. Reversionism is defined here. I lifted it. Let me show you where from which I lifted it. For a thorough study of the 8 stages of reversionism, consult R.B. Thieme Jr., the book Reversionism, 2nd edition, pages 22 through 39. Here's the excerpt. There are 8 points. Reaction and distraction, wrong priorities regarding pleasure, people, prosperity, rejection of pastor's authority, lack of objectivity toward Scripture, hypersensitivity, retaliation to gossip, maligning and unjust treatment, bad decisions from weakness, blaming self-fragmentation on others for your own bad decisions, lack of concentration on doctrine due to cosmic involvement, arrogant preoccupation with self, and lack of spiritual motivation from no personal love of God or occupation with Christ. That's a mouthful. Summed it up, but there's more. Point 2. A frantic search for happiness through power, pleasure, influence, approbation, success, social life, sex, materialism. 3, Operation Boomerang. You don't get away with this very long. Search for happiness outside the principle provided by Bible doctrine. So you got a place to go, you don't go there. 4, emotional revolt of the soul, indicated by personal sins, the lust pattern, legalism, antinomianism, and emotionalism. 5, negative volition toward doctrine. First is apathy or indifference to Bible teaching, and second is the development of wrong priorities and preoccupation with self, just to name 2. 6, blackout of the soul. Negative volition eventually results in a vacuum within the soul which adopts the curriculum of the Satanic Academy of Cosmic Didactics. 7, scar tissue of the soul. This results in the hardness of heart. This results in the inability to recall any divine ideas from the Divine Academy of Grace Didactics. And 8, reverse process reversionism. This results in the total influence of evil and the substitution of Satan's plan for God's plan, which leads to the divorcement from reality. Stages of reversionism. We have two aorist tenses, prosukomai. An aggressive aorist, he began to pray. We have the same verb, prosukomai, a culminative aorist in verse 18, where he terminated his prayer. Before James makes his final points in verses 19 and 20, the whole buildup is the fact, for example, a super grace believer has capacity for freedom, for life, for love, for happiness, for prosperity, for grace, and for adversity. You can orient and adjust to what flack comes your way. But you got to have the doctrine to do this. There's a lot of flack today. You can't get out of fellowship, but you do need to concentrate on the incoming information and therefore orient and adjust to the causes for it, and then busy yourself to avoid the temptations that lead to those poor decisions. So add to this one's capacity to be the man for the crisis. Can you do that? Do you want to? He has the capacity to stand in the gap when his nation is about to go under. This is the super grace life of the super grace believer during time of national apostasy. Now, I therefore encourage each of you to take this on as an issue and a responsibility. Our nation is one of many presently that is enduring shrinkage. And I've defined the shrinkage, what it is. The loss of thought. What thought is being lost. The lost thought has to do with principles, concepts, ideas, doctrines, etc., associated with the study, retention, facilitation, and application of the Word of God. That's not going on anymore in this client nation, and it shows almost globally. So that evil operations like China and Russia and Iran and et al. Have the blood up. And we're being run by a gaggle of nincompoops that somehow wound up having the authority of how to run this country. I don't know how to define nincompoop. I had teachers use that on me at one point. And it didn't sound like they were pleased. So I'm saying these nincompoops have decided that they're going to run the country. And I'm not even convinced that those who are running the country are legitimately there. Just me. But how did they get the authority? There was no vote. Usually we vote for people like this. So you had one guy, which allegedly was voted on, and he, therefore, they decided that, well, they didn't decide anything. They just ignored him. They ignored him and decided that there was going to be somebody else to take his place, and there was no vote. They had a shindig, I think, in Chicago. Who would have thought of that? Anyhow, it was in Chicago. And she was christened without a word being spoken. I'm here. How y'all? And that's the end of it. She didn't say anything else. A lot of grinning. She's a big grinner. We don't know what she thinks, except when she does make comments, it's right out of the dark side of hell while grinning. She's a big grinner. Grincompoop. How about this for a definition of the problem? Five areas of national desolation. There are five categories. Let's just work our way through this. This is a synopsis of Jeremiah 12, verses 10 through 13. He writes, many shepherds, okay, that's TPTs, many shepherds have ruined my vineyard. They have trampled down my field. They have made my pleasant field a desolate wilderness. It has been made a desolation. Desolate, it mourns before me. The whole land has been made desolate because no man lays it to heart. That's shrinkage. On all the bare heights in the wilderness, destroyers have come. For a sword of the Lord is devouring from one end of the land even to the other, and there's no peace for anyone. They have sown wheat, reap thorns. They have strained themselves to no profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. That's excerpted from the New American Standard's version of Jeremiah 12, verses 10 through 13. This will be posted on the internet if you want to review it. Five areas of national discipline. Everyone is in reversionism, does everything from denying the existence of reversionism, so denying the very situation in which they find themselves. Elijah's prayer, this is reiteration here. Elijah's prayer began by asking the Lord to, quote, knock on the door. Remember that passage in James? It's in other passages as well. For example, Revelation 3:20. For whenever you read anything that goes like this, behold, I, Jesus, stands at the door and knock. What does that mean? Discipline. I'm coming in. Or as we have seen in James, the judge is standing right at the door, James 5:9c. The judge, Jesus Christ, is standing right at the door. How are we to evaluate that? Well, this is James. This is first century. This is somewhere around 40-ish A.D. And he delved back in to this history of priest nations. And he's standing in a pulpit in downtown Jerusalem. It's a synagogue, but on Sundays it's a church. And he's having his say. He's a Jew. He's the Lord's half-brother. And so pretty hard to diss him in many circles. Nevertheless, he's getting away with it. And he's grinding it out. And look where we are in this. We're almost done with the letter of James 5:9. We even got verse 17 on top of the page. Knocking is divine discipline as a warning to the individual believer, a warning of the coming of the sin unto death. To a nation, the warning is coming of the fifth cycle of discipline, and that's where we are in this passage. Elijah kept on being a man of similar feelings and circumstances and pressures, and thus Elijah began to pray. Now, he is a super grace hero in the midst of chaos. He knew what it was to hurt. He knew that it was to be prosperous and prosukamai. He knew what it was to be that way. And he prayed. It was used in verse 13 It was used in verse 14, verse 16, and it will be used in both verses 17 and 18. In verse 14 and in verse 15, it was the prayer of the super grace believer for himself in adversity. And it was, quote, "And it has much power." Secondly, it was used for the prayer of the pastor elder for a dying, repentant reversionist in verse 14, "And it had much power." Someone who wants to recover from living in the dark side, making poor decisions from a position of weakness and suffering the end result, can make a comeback. All he's got to do is rebound. And he does it in this context. In verse 16, it was used for the prayer of a pastor who was victimized by gossip and slander and maligning and judgment and criticism. And he prays for the repentant reversionist in verse 16, and he is healed. So prayer has much power. In verses 17 and 18, it is the prayer of the super grace prophet, a believer who has the gift of communication of doctrine and is in super grace. It is a prayer during national reversionism. Now, let me therefore suggest something to the congregation, and I assume there may be some listening electronically. There are 24 hours in your general day. You have time, let's say if you're still working, not retired or anything like that, you have to go to work, say basically 8 hours. Then you have, I don't know the math, but the more than that available to you for the rest of the day. What are you going to do? Well, it varies with the individual. Are there certain periods of time that you have during a given day that you are caught up on pretty much everything? Oh, I know you have to sit down and eat 3 meals a day. Then you have to, some people take a nap after they've eaten. I never got into that. I don't nap except during movies. Joe Henry wants to watch these movies, and I stay with it for about 30 or 40 minutes, and then I'm gone. And then she'll say, "Wasn't that a great movie?" I say, "It was stunning, stunning." Loved every minute of it. But other than sleeping through movies, I don't do much of anything else like that. Here's my point, though. There are blocks of time during a given day that you could separate out and give some thought to a communication to the God of the universe. I think if you now haven't been doing this, that's okay. It's not none of my business, but I'm going to suggest something. In the current zeitgeist, it would be good, I think, that if you could block out some time during a given day to address the throne room of God and pray for this country. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 hours, somewhere in between, whatever it takes. But the God of the universe is paying attention to what's going on in client nation America. He has seen it before. He's seen it through the priest nations of Israel. They lost the thought. He's seen it through the client nations of Europe. They lost the thought. We came over here, and for almost 250 years, we had what was called a client nation. Now it teeters. And the teetering can be seen in the electronic contrivance called radio and television, etc. You can see it when you walk down the street. You can see it when you go places to shop. You can see the loss of thought is there. And therefore, this results in shrinkage. And when there is widespread shrinkage in the souls of the people who populate the client nation, therefore God stands ready to unleash, I want to say hell, but it's going to be worse than that. It's divine discipline. And all client nations have fallen up to this one, and we're on the brink. Is there a play we can run? Is there something we can do? Is there a system to which we can subscribe in order to give some help to the idea of pulling our national fat out of this fire? What do we find that James does? The people in the context, like Elijah. For 3 years and 6 months, that man systematically prayed for Israel. And it worked. That's all you got. There ain't anything else. As believers in Jesus Christ, you can confess your sins to the Father, and you can follow that up with request to the throne room that, Father, whatever avenue is available to you in this critical moment in our nation's history, we pray you would execute it through whatever method you decide is available to you and would have a positive result. I'm suggesting that that needs to be a part of your daily activities. Now we've got this aggressive aorist. Not only is this an aggressive aorist for the initiation of that prayer for awakening discipline to the reversionistic nation, but the middle voice is an indirect middle. It emphasizes the agent producing the action. Elijah was a righteous man, a super grace believer who has the gift of prophecy, a man who was a prophet by office, a man who had the power of communication, a man who had grown into super grace. This man knew how to pray. This man knew how to communicate. This man knew how to evaluate the current zeitgeist. He knew how to pray for the resolution of these issues. And he did so to the Father. You have the opportunity, you have the privilege, and you need the want to find time during your day to address the throne room of God. You are the resolution. You are the solution to the zeitgeist presently percolating around us. These boys did it in the first century and before. And you can do it in the 21st century. The indicative mood is the reality of redeeming time in prayer when the nation is disintegrating from reversionism. That where our national defensive organizations, we have four of them, are being managed by people who represent the dark side and therefore have put dark side leadership in certain particular areas of those four categories of defense. We're teetering on the brink of overthrow, and not a shot will be fired, except in the streets of St. Louis. But you can fire your weapon to the throne room. And more believers firing that ordinance to the throne room is what can lead us to pull this whole situation back to where it used to be and needs to be. This is the instrumental singular of the noun prosuche, which means by means of prayer. This is the instrumental case of prosuke, and it is used to translate the aorist infinitive. Therefore, we have breko. Breko means to rain and bring prosperity, to send rain. The aorist tense is constative plus the ingressive prosukamai. Then the constative aorist of breko plus the negative not to send rain. He's praying. You see this? Don't send the rain. This occurs over 3.5 years. Then, at the end of 3, a second prosukamai in the culminative aorist. This is ingressive, culminative, and in between a constative aorist. Therefore, what happened? It did not rain. And we have been studying in 1 Kings 17 through 1 Kings 18:40, the adventures of Elijah and how they relate to the termination of his prayer. How did all of this occur? God told him, no rain, 3 years and 6 months. I need for you to communicate that idea for me. You get in prayer and you tell the folks, not a drop because of all y'all and behavior patterns you've got going for you. Not a drop for 3 solid years and 6 more months. You need to go on the way home, stop by Quickie Serve, and get all the water they've got available for sale. Take it home, put it somewhere in a closet. Always know you got 40 bottles of water. Well, guess not. Breko. Breko means to rain and bring prosperity or to send rain. You know, you can pray for rain, and if it's in the context of what God's plan has going and needs you to be cooperating with him in the process, you can bet on this. 3 years and 6 months maybe, but at some point it's going to rain and we got people praying for it. But there's got to be a period of time where people from the dark side who think they know all there is to know about anything, they need to be brought to task. God's still in his heaven. Breko means to rain and bring prosperity. Oh, petunias will come up. Corn will grow. Cotton will flower. Then there's another thing called send rain. Oh, it's got to be rain. The aorist tense is constative plus the ingressive prosukamai. Then the constative aorist of breko plus the negative not to send rain. This occurs over 3.5 years. Then, at the end of 3, a second prosukamai in the culminative aorist. This is ingressive, culminative, and in between a constative aorist. It did not rain. And we have been studying in 1 Kings 17 through 1 Kings 18:40. Haven't gotten there yet. The adventures of Elijah, and now they relate to the termination of his prayer. He's done all he can do. Just think. Here's a man that started a prayer. And he had to keep breathing. Had to stay alive for 3.5 years to finish the prayer. I know many of you have had the experience of starting a prayer and not finishing it until the next morning. Dear Father, thus and so, and bloviate away for a fragment of a sentence, and then there's snoring. And then you wake up and say, it seems like I prayed, but I don't remember exactly what. Maybe that I'm awake, I can start over. Dear Father. The infinitive has a purpose, plus the negative may, which is a warning of divine discipline to the reversionistic nation. See, the nation is reversionistic. The people in it are in reversionism, but not all are. Some could pray, including the pastors and those in the congregation who haven't lost the thought. The infinitive has a purpose plus the negative may, which is a warning of divine discipline to the reversionistic nation. We need such a warning presently since we are in a very serious trouble as a client nation. Now, in answer to the first half of his prayer, it rained not. Aorist active indicative of breco, which refers to the ongoing 3.5-year drought. Now, when I say drought here, it means not one drop. The aorist tense is constative, consistent, you see. For a period of 3.5 years, every day was alike. Sun rises, sun sets, everybody sweats. With the first day, it didn't rain. The next day, it did not rain. The next month, it did not rain. The brook Kereth dried up. The bottom of the brook Kereth was parched sand. The next day it didn't rain. The next and next and the next. And the widow started to die from starvation. The widow soon died. The widow's son soon died. Dead as a doornail. See, these are all significant in the completion of this prayer, and they are significant only to those who remain consistent in their intake of the Word of God. No matter the circumstances that face you, they are part of your life, and your job is to use doctrine to orient and adjust to it. Figure out what's going on and orient to that. What is it I'm supposed to do in my life and in my decision-making in order for me to better adjust to this, learn from it, and pray for relief for the client nation if necessary? And I would assert to you that it is. It is necessary. So the brook dried up. The next day it didn't rain, the next and the next, and the widow started to die from starvation, and the widow's son died. See, sequence of events. See, they are all significant in the completion of his prayer, and they are significant only to those who remain consistent in their intake of doctrine. So there has to be a consistency here. So we've noted 42, two doctrines about to emerge. James writes 5 chapters in order to make 2 points. 1 point is the power of prayer based on doctrine. The second is the power of knowing doctrine and communicating it so that someone can recover from reversionism. It's all about reversionism. That's the number one doctrine in the whole letter of James, which is the first crack out of the box for the New Testament. Apparently, Jerusalem was made up of a bunch of Jews, and that's okay. They had their synagogue, and they leased it to this fellow, James, for Sunday Bible classes. He's the one that's got the truth, and he's talking to a congregation, and we do not have any idea of who was in that bunch. I would predict a gaggle. James 5:17, Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed. That's the ingressive, aorist active indicative of prosukamai. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain breco, and there was no rain upon the land for 3 years and for 6 months. Now, maybe you've lived through droughts. They do occur. They can go for months sometimes. It's on TV. The weatherman comes on and says, it's going to be another bright sunny day today. Not a cloud in sight. You say, what are we going to do, Margaret? It's not going to rain again today. And she says, I don't know. Let's go to Deerberg's and get some more water. They always have it at Deerberg's. I love Deerberg's. When I was delivering bread, there was a big supermarket in Houston called Randall's. Oh. There's nothing in that building that you would want that you couldn't get at Randall's. And when I first went into Deerberg's here in St. Louis area, I looked around and I thought, dadgum, they've changed the name of Randall's to Deerberg's. I told the manager, checked us out one day, and Joe Henry bragged on me because I loved Deerberg's. And he said, why do you love Deerberg's? I said, because I know a grocery store when I see one. And this is one of them. Now, you ladies may argue with me, but you ain't been in what is that little sissy store we used to have to go to because it was close by? Rice? No, not up here, down in Houston. What was that little puny store? It was puny. And you could go in there, you didn't know if you could find any food or not. Anyhow, it was not a good grocery store. If Elijah is not your right pastor, and you do not accept his authority, please vacate. There are plenty waiting to get in. If it's not your, listen, if Elijah is not your right pastor, you get that? How can that be? Well, there are those. And you do not accept his authority because you're in reversionism, please vacate. There are plenty waiting to get in. There is no shortage of those who are positive toward doctrine. Well, thank you very much for pointing that out, James. Yet the woods are filled with churches made up of flaky people. Amen to that. James 5:18. Then he prayed. This is the culminative aorist active indicative of the verb prosukamai. Again, and the sky gave rain, and the land sprouted with a harvest. Okay. We all the way down to James 5:18, we have a sprout. Verse 18 begins with the culminative aorist active indicative of prosukamai, but it is the same morphology as the last one in the previous verse, but there is one difference. The morphology is the same. The exegesis is different. The difference is they are both aorist active indicatives. The difference is in the type of aorist. In verse 17, it was an ingressive aorist. In verse 18, it's a culminative aorist. Ergo, this is the third time we've addressed and explained this, that this is an interrupted prayer. It was begun in Ahab's palace in Samaria 3.5 years later. It was concluded on top of Mount Carmel. He prayed this for 3.5 years, and he didn't give up. That's why Elijah was chosen to do the duty. So verse 18 begins, then he prayed, meaning the elapse of 3.5 years, to make sure you understand, since all you are not familiar with the culminative aorist as opposed to the ingressive aorist, we have added for English readers only the word again. Pollen, which means resumption. This chi plus pollen means resumption. Now, you take a look at the verse. They prayed again. See that? And why did they put again in there? There's no again in the original language, but the concept is there. And therefore, when you get to the NET Bible, they knew that there was an idea buried in there, and it needed to be entered into the translation. Therefore, again has to be there. The concept is there. Then he prayed again. See, there was a first time he prayed, 3.5 years. Second time he prayed again. That's the idea. And the sky gave rain, and the land sprouted with a harvest. And therefore, we've noted the word prosukamai, verse 18, begins with its culminative aorist active indicative, but it is the same morphology as the last one in the previous verse. But there is one difference. The morphology is the same. The exegesis is different. The difference is they are both aorist active indicatives. The difference is the type of aorist. Verse 17, it was an ingressive aorist. In verse 18, it's culminative. In other words, it's not going to rain. So they prayed again. Ergo, this is the third time we've addressed and explained this, that this is an interrupted prayer. It began in Ahab's palace in Samaria 3.5 years later. It was concluded on the top of Mount Carmel. So, verse 18 begins. Then he prayed, meaning the elapse of 3.5 years, to make sure you understand, since all of you are not familiar with the culminative aorist as opposed to the ingressive aorist, we have added for English readers only the word again, the adverb pollen, which means resumption. Chi plus pollen means resumption. This is a culminative aorist in the active voice of the same super grace believer who is still living on Chateaubriand from the Ravens, the best waiters in the world. And that's Elijah. And he prayed again. We will resume our study on Wednesday evening. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of noting these things. It is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will take what we've noted, facilitate it into our memory center regarding other things that we've studied. And therefore, we thank you for the privilege of continuing our study to this point. And we'll lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, shall we stand as we sing.